referred to earlier, and here Peterson refers to political pressure being utilized in an effort to make us move forward prior to having a firm position on these points. At the end, he says, perhaps the interference that started on October 2 will relent. That was all discussed. He, in his memorandum to the files on the press contact, he says that Mr. Jones stated that he had received several calls from state employees, high probability of selection process for Fifth Avenue Center being an illegal act. Then, selectively reading, I told him that he had been misinformed. There was nothing in the file reflecting wrong, illegal acts by any party, that we would not have accepted the project if indicators of illegality were present. So essentially, Peterson, who raised certain danger flags, now says there's nothing illegal, and that and this is after the lease had been issued, I would assume March 15th. Why do those concern you? And again, the governor's office isn't touched in any of those.
Please, Senator, there's no specific reference to the governor's office in any of those. Why I selected those was that I did not read the two together. The press contact, I thought relevant simply for the governor's office to know the scope of the press inquiry. The separate memoranda that you were reading from, because of their allegations and suggestions that there were improper influence as to both the size of the lease and location. Mm-hmm.
Right in the beginning, Mr. Dash read from the January 3, 1985 memo from Barry Jackson to Robert Link. And this was after the exchange between you two established that complaints about pressure were directed at Shively and not the governor. Then sort of the quote, as I remember, was prior to his verbal directive, we have been following a carefully considered negotiated strategy aimed at making the best of an already poor negotiating position, let me set the table, and so on. That verbal directive refers here to Deputy Commissioner Stock's verbal directive on what's to be done. And again, neither the governor nor Lori Herman nor Shively. So again, and then he asked at the end the question that's been quoted before, is this a serious negotiation or not? And then the response from Link of January 8th, yes, I can reply that I expect negotiations to be serious. So again, the governor's office isn't tied in. It seems to be mostly sort of the stock versus some of the others and so on. Is it still like you had other information? And if you had other information, why were these pages Xeroxed? I mean, these would alone appear to be a tempest in the teapot.
Couldn't agree more, Senator. The other information, I think, in part, is suggested by some of the personal notes, which create a context for those memoranda. Again, within the Department of Administration, all Barry Jackson and Dick Peterson's contacts apparently were with the Hansen staff. Their notes indicate that when Mr. Stack relayed instructions to them, that he indicated at times he was instructions from John Shively, and that was indicated by some of the personal notes that was left as well as part of this packet. So, read in isolation, I agree there's no specific reference to the Office of the Governor. They, in my judgment at the time, created they were part of this, what I termed a politically embarrassing story because of other material in the file which I thought would be read together.
Now, did you consider that it could be politically embarrassing even if no one in the governor's office were involved, that simply something like this happening anywhere in the administration could be politically embarrassing, or were you concerned it was politically embarrassing because Mr. Shively's name was mentioned here and there?
Both, that would be my answer. The existence of those memoranda and the awkward language used in them, which I had never seen before in the context of other state business, in and of themselves were so unusual and quite quotable, and they would have made for an interesting story and, in my judgment, politically embarrassing. The references to John Shively made it even more so.
This is one of those hypotheticals. But if Shively's name had not been mentioned, would you, and all these other references were there about impeding negotiations, political pressure, Stock says do this, verbal instruction, but no mention of Shiver, no mention of where the governor's office. Would you still have thought that this could be politically embarrassing? You've made references several times, and previously there have been some, to some interpersonal problems and inter-institutional, inter-agency problems. What was this business about, in response to one of Mr. Lacabara's questions, about Jackson being concerned about his job? With respect to whom? Was that he was concerned with respect to the governor's office, or where?
I have absolutely no knowledge that anyone in the governor's office has any dealings with Mr. Jackson. There, from my observations, was a very poor working relationship between Mr. Stack and Mr. Jackson. And I learned from various perspectives that Mr. Jackson was concerned about his job.
Have you heard that Bruce Moore was concerned about his job in relation to Mrs. Stock?
I have heard that as well.
You mentioned earlier the You had mentioned earlier Mrs. Stock's difficult relation with Commissioner Rudd. Was that with respect to this particular project or general? What had you heard about that?
Mr. Stack had indicated to me on numerous occasions that that was a difficult relationship as well.
Mrs. Stock had indicated that to you?
That's correct. Commissioner Rudd had not.
All right. Lastly, I believe you or someone indicated that there were problems between Commissioner Rudd and the governor's office, or Commissioner Rudd and Shively. Are you familiar with that? How serious was that?
Senator, I'm probably not the best person to make an assessment of it. I deal in a broad variety of legal issues. At times they involve the Department of Administration and the governor's office, and through some of those issues, I sensed and observed what I would characterize as a difficult working relationship at times.
Okay, last question. Do you see similar problems between the governor's office and, let's say, the chief of staff, whoever that may be, and other commissioners, and the similar problems between commissioners, deputies, and division chiefs and others in other departments? Or was administration a particular problem?
Senator, there's a degree of tension which I think is inevitable from my observations in government, and it's part of the what makes government work in some senses. Department of Administration, from my observations, was probably more difficult than other departments, and certainly from my exposure to other departments, and again, I have exposure to a number of departments, but by no means all, I hadn't observed anything approaching the level of disharmony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Fisher. Mr. Rabidi, we're going to quit for the day, and we'd like to ask you to remain available to the committee following Governor Sheffield's testimony. That will be sometime probably Wednesday or Thursday. And I think you'll be across the street.
Chairman.
Prior to leaving, Senator Fix has one clarifying question.
In Senate Exhibit Number 3, the January 3rd memo, is that one of the memos you Xeroxed for Lori Herman?
If it's part of Senate Exhibit 3, you can presume I Xeroxed it, because that's what that is.
Senator Abood.
Chairman, I'd like to thank Senator Josephson for asking the questions I was going to ask Mr. Maravini. So if you'll take me off the list, I defer to the next person on the list.
We are going to be in recess then until 7. Senator Sturgeon.
Prior to going, I have some material that would be relevant to a question I would like to be able to address to Mr. Maravini. I'd like that, if I could, to have be handed out. It deals with freedom of information, and I think that's important that the senators could have that prior to the opportunity to question.
It's distributed.
Fine, thank you.
We'll recess till 7 p.m. this evening, when we hear Governor William Sheffield.